Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Evan off to Mexico. We can only assume he's gotten there okay.
He left this morning. He should be there already.
He should be there.
Have we heard?
Well, this is the only one that scares me.
Oh, wait, no. He took a second flight, so maybe he's not there yet.
Right, he had to go to Mexico and then go from Mexico to other Mexico.
From Mexico City to a smaller town in Mexico.
Yeah. So the only reason I'm nervous slightly for Evan, and you know this, Tiki, and Lugar can make all the jokes about me last week all he wants. Nobody can disconnect less than Evan Roberts.
The absolute worst.
And the fact that we've gotten to 3 o'clock Eastern without a single text from Evan Roberts, this has to be a first.
There's no baseball, although there was the All-Star game last night. Hard Knocks. Yeah, because Evan has become so much to the point where he has to give an opinion on everything.
Something. Mm.
He could see an old man feeding geese at the park, and he wants to give his opinion on
he
that.
He did respond on the Mets chat.
Oh.
What time?
Because the Mets are, this was this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So the Mets have brought in a new reliever, claiming Alex Young off waivers from the Giants and optioning him to Syracuse.
Oh, sure, he'll get big outs.
And then Evan said Danny. I don't know what that means.
Danny Young.
Yes, Danny.
Wow. Okay, well, good for Evan.
The Rico Brodna Podcast.
So I'm sure it'll be on the Rico. Live from Mexico.
Unbelievable. He's not doing a Rico
He better, absolutely 100% better not do a freaking Rico Brodna Podcast from Mexico City. I'm seriously. You cancel the Rico, give it to Hoff. Evan, you're off. Let Hoffman do it. Give him an opportunity to show his stuff. You don't have to do a Rico Brodna.
Show his stuff? What is he, a reliever coming up from AAA himself?
I understand you have an audience, but Hoff's on the podcast all the time. You're in Mexico. You don't need to do it during the All-Star break for Danny or whoever you are.
And this is a proper vacation, right? His kids aren't there. It's just him and his wife, right?
No. The kids are there.
The kids are there. Yes. Yeah,
so this isn't a proper vacation.
No, it's a family trip.
Family vacation.
Yes. So there you have it. So good for Hoff. Hoff, show us your stuff. All right, before we get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. We still have a lot of Saquon calls lined up. Couple other things worth noting here. The quarterback situation and the future of it. It looks like next week on Hard Knocks, we are going to get some draft information, and they have flat out teased the scenario where Dabes is asked, would you trade up for Jaden Daniels? And he says yes. There's no filtering that. There's no changing that. We know he would have been willing to trade up for Jaden Daniels with Daniel Jones on the roster.
Yeah, we heard that directly.
We heard that directly. So keep in mind, we hear that at the end of the show directly. But this is what we got during the show. A couple clips I want to play for the audience again in case you didn't see Hard Knocks yet, not watching it, so you tipped off to the audio. First, Brian Daboll has sat down in Joe Shane's office as free agency is about to begin. And he's asked to kind of look at the board and prioritize where he thinks the Giants should invest in free agency.
We need inside players.
All right. What would you say would be the number one need
offensively?
Just in the team. Like we have this pie of money. How are we going to divvy it up? Again, we can get this 26-year-old pass rusher.
I'd say offensive line.
Okay. Now, Tommy has a theory on this, Tiki. You just heard that clip.
Yes.
Tommy, your theory is what?
My theory is this. Brian Daboll wanted to say quarterback, but he knew cameras were filming him.
Why? Why did you?
So he sounded like every single caller to WFAN complaining about the offensive line. Which, by the way, we know the offensive line's bad, but based on that answer, based on the fact that a little later, and I think we have the clip where he goes, we still have the same quarterback room?
I mean, we're about to set that up.
Just all right, it's a little teaser. And then the teaser for next week, he's saying he would trade up for Jaden Daniels. He doesn't like the quarterback room because, again, if the quarterbacks fail, he will be on the hot seat.
So I didn't pick up on this in real time, but I did have a thought. My initial opinion watching this, so we just heard that clip. It sounds less dramatic than when you watched it. When you watched it, it felt like it was a little more delayed as Daboll staring at the board before saying the offensive line. And my initial reaction was, is he not paying attention to Joe Shane? Mm-hmm. But his reaction makes me now, in hindsight, make sense that maybe he thought to himself, wait, we're on camera. Let me not say quarterback here.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered if he had said quarterback. I mean, we all kind of know.
At that time.
But again, we're watching this now.
Right.
So, and I think we have all speculated over the last couple of months, the Giants have to be looking at a quarterback.
Yes.
Right? They have to be. Not because they hate Daniel Jones, but because Daniel Jones has not consistently been healthy, and he's currently unhealthy.
Of course.
So, like, he's still coming off of an ACL injury. We think he's going to be fine.
Right.
But he's still technically coming off an ACL injury. So
and I reports, think that, Tiki, by the way, he's not going to start the training camp on PUP.
Yes.
Which is crazy, which is great, for his rehab.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Which tells you how hard he worked to get right back and everything else. But the Giants have a fantastic staff, as we all know. Ronnie Barnes, who made a guest appearance.
How about that? Ronnie Barnes night, being consulted on all of the free agents and their injuries.
He's smart.
How that was another thing where I was like, I don't know what most teams do. They probably do.
Well, why would you sign a right, damaged product?
Oh, what a job.
But my point is, we knew that they were always thinking quarterback. Now, we had some inklings on draft day that this trade with the New England Patriots was about whatever they said it was about. But we know what it was about. It was about trying to go up and get a quarterback.
Of course.
And so, sorry, like they danced around it publicly, but we all knew. And I think this episode and probably the next one of Hard Knocks are confirming that they love Daniel Jones if he's healthy. But if not, they got to go find somebody else.
Right.
All right, hear me out on this. Unfortunately, we're all going to have to go through this in life where our parents get older and we have to put them in a home, right? And we talk about them.
You don't always have to put them in a home. You don't put them in your home.
I don't have siblings. Sean, you have two sisters. But you're going to have that conversation. What are we going to do with Pops, right? And Pops is sitting in the corner. Daniel Jones is like all of us watching this. Can you imagine Daniel Jones?
I bet they've had the conversation with him, though.
I know, but it's one thing to know the conversation. It's one thing to watch this.
I like it.
If you're Daniel Jones, you're sitting there going,
get either motivated by it.
Perhaps, or you're like, the hell with this. These guys don't even want
me. No. Because it's the
opposite. I don't think Daniel's that kind of guy.
No, though. I think it motivates him even more. Now, he should always be motivated, starting quarterback, all of this. But I think everybody's surprised that the Giants are going to include all this stuff about moving on a quarterback. I think Giants look at it as, what do we have to lose? Because this is how we feel. We are going to move on a quarterback or not, but we might as well show it, because if we need the best of Daniel Jones this year because we didn't get a quarterback in the draft, if this doesn't kick him in the old arse, whatever would.
Well, I mean, I don't think he needs it, to be honest with you.
Probably not.
But
he's seeing it like we all are.
There's no greater motivator than the likelihood of being replaced. There is no doubt about it.
And I'm getting sucked in. I'm telling you right now, I think he throws for 30 touchdowns this year. I think he gets at least close to 4,000 yards.
Okay, here's the question, though. If he does do that, are you excited about that? Or are you still like,
but he's always going to get hurt.
All right. If he has a fantastic year, throws 30 touchdowns, say 4 interceptions or 5 interceptions, runs for another couple, has 300 or 400 yards rushing, it's just dynamic. Puts himself into the top, I don't know, 12 or 14 quarterbacks in the NFL. Are you now saying, this is my guy for the foreseeable future? Or are you saying, I kind of still want insurance?
Tiki freaking Barber, this is an amazing question. And I'm so glad you asked it, because you're getting me at a very honest and vulnerable time.
Good.
Okay, I'm 2 days removed from removing rodents from my home. There's a lot going on. I am not in my mid-season Giant fandom of emotion yet. You know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
You've seen me in action. I love this team.
It's awesome and irrational.
Right. And my entire week is affected mood-wise by the Giants too. So here I am in July. I'm out of the pool. I'm fresh. I'm watching Hard Knocks. I will tell you that what I just laid out, what I think is going to happen, I think if you gave me truth serum, is my worst nightmare.
Really?
Because I think that Daniel Jones lighting the world on fire this year will sway the Giants to keep him. And it's not about, well, obviously we wouldn't be able to deny that he showed the ability. I just don't believe he's going to be consistently healthy year to year. I don't. But
that's a shame too, because
it is,
because you're not wrong. And the only way that we stop saying that is if he has 3 years
of
not being injured.
And this is the out year on that contract. Now, it'll be easy for us to readjust and go, well, there's only 2 more years left in the deal.
Yeah.
And I understand all of that, Tiki. But if you're asking me right now, I would love a good playoff year. Let's go to the divisional round again. And Daniel Jones throws for more touchdowns we've ever seen. And he has this awesome year. And I will be the first one in January when the Giants get eliminated going, see all you haters, Daniel Jones is great. But you could pull back the tape. Evan loves pulling the tape. If you ask me in July, I think that's a horrible scenario for the Giants, because they could just as easily lose him next September to another injury.
Yes.
That's the way I look at it.
That's going to be the fear. Unfortunately for Daniel Jones, he could have the greatest, he could make the Pro Bowl
right
next year and lead the team to another, you know, first or divisional round or whatever it is in the playoffs, and we're still going to think, well,
so you
he could
agree
get hurt.
With me.
Of course.
You agree.
And it's just, you have to prove it.
Yes.
In football, you have to prove it. The only thing that gets you on a certain level in people's minds is consistent availability. That's the only thing that works, and he hasn't done it.
So before we play that other clip, because now we're on this conversation, I want to go around the room here real quick. You agree with me. We agree with me. We clearly see now the Giants have their eyes on the future of the quarterback. Do you think that there's actually anything the Giants can, or anything Daniel Jones can do this year to be here in 2025? Or do you think they've already made up their mind based on the injuries that they'll never trust it?
Man, I think it's always going to be, we have to have a quality backup.
Okay. All right.
No, I agree with you, TK.
So you think he could be back, but they're going to go all out for a backup.
Quality backup, whether it be
veteran backup, exactly.
Drew Lock or whoever, plus also Malik Nabers, yeah. Burns,
right.
Bring in those dogs, build up the rest of the team where you have a force around whoever the quarterback is,
right.
Sort of hedge your back with
tell
a backup.
You, what was interesting about the quarterback, the backup quarterback situation, because Dave was sitting in the room and he was talking about, sitting in the Shane's office, and he was talking about the quarterback room, and it's, you know, we're going to run it back with Daniel.
You want to hear that clip? That was the next clip I was going to play.
Right. This one's interesting.
All right, let's hear that clip, Connor.
I would take Tyrod.
Again, this guy's going to be running.
Guys.
Yeah, we're going to try to get Tyrod done right now.
Great.
All right, so Tyrod.
So we just have the same quarterback room as last year.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Oh. That didn't sound
it didn't sound convincing at all.
Comforting. It didn't sound comforting at all.
It's almost like it dawned on Dable after he let the words out. Wait a minute, that would mean the same room. I don't want the same room. We stink with that room.
Well, we also talked about this a lot last year when they benched DeVito for whatever reason and went back to Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
We all know, Brian Dable knows what Tyrod is.
Yeah, of
course. We know the ceiling.
Of course.
So Dable's like, give me another guy I could develop and
maybe we get the next guy. Maybe it wasn't Daniel Jones. Maybe it was Tyrod.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing against Tyrod, but we know what he is.
I think you're probably right about that. But the other thing that I took away from that scene, and we didn't play the whole thing, was how, like, they're making decisions about who's going to be their backup quarterback, not based on who's going to be the best backup quarterback, but who they can fit financially. It's like this financial jigsaw puzzle that they're trying to piece together. All right, we can get Tyrod for 7, Drew for 4, we got these other, Sam at 4, this guy at 4.
And because the Giants outbid the Jets for John Runyon and had to go extra because the Jets wanted him, the Jets were able to get Tyrod Taylor to back up Aaron Rodgers because the Giants couldn't afford him anymore.
Right, that side of it is fascinating to me.
Shane did what every fan would do, too. We're not going to play this audio. He went right to, you know, the injury history with Tyrod Taylor. 20 minutes ago, you just told us it was one of the most highly coveted free agents you wanted, Joe.
That's right. By the way, you got an injury history with your starting quarterback.
Of course. Which is another reason, by the way, I was cool with not letting Tyrod back, because it has nothing to do with him, the player. It's just, I can't have two injury-prone guys in the position.
It's funny. I'll keep saying this. I've never been, interested or giddy about watching Hard Knocks.
It's just right up your alley.
I just feel like it's so stupid in the preseason thing because it's so contrived. It felt like, and you know this because I've done reality television, it felt like reality television.
Yes.
It felt like, let's create something. It's all real, but let's create something that makes it dramatic. All right, do this. All right, remember, say this. All right, remember, you got to, let's film it in this way and because we know that this could happen. Like, it felt like BS. This feels so real.
It does.
It's so interesting to me. I feel like, you know what it is? I feel like I'm learning, and I know this world. I feel like I'm learning something every time I watch this preseason Hard Knocks,
which is
awesome.
And I think the reason it's another sign for it being a good show, it's great for us here on WFAN, Giants flagship, talk Giant football, and what is otherwise a pretty dead time in sports, specifically this week. I think I'd be into this show if it was any one of the 32 teams.
I think you're right. I think this is reigniting the original enthusiasm about Hard Knocks.
I am completely all in. And I thought the Jets and training camp did a good job this year, but you're right. It is a lot of that, and that same old has gotten a little stale. I am so, so into this. All right, let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Anthony on Long Island. Anthony, what's up?
What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How are we doing today? Good?
We're great.
What's up, Ant?
All right, man. So I get very upset with my fellow Giants fans. I've spoken to Tiki a lot about this, that Giants fans can be very fickle.
Yep, no doubt.
Fickle is a very good word. I've been fickle. I hated Tiki when he retired. I thought, you know, I'm just being honest. Like,
Yeah, but now you get to know me. Now you get to know me every day, 2 to 6:30 p.m. Right. on WFAN.
Right, and every day we listen religiously.
Club Teak Team.
My thing is this, right? A lot of Giants fans aren't—they're not seeing the obvious in front of them. So they offered Saquon basically the same contract last year.
Yes,
and he said no, and he took it as an offense. So fast forward to this year, he just basically took $1.5 million more.
Right.
And last time I checked, Saquon's not even a top five running back all time for the Giants. Rodney Hampton, Tiki Barber.
Okay? Oh, you just did Tiki Cole mentioning Hampton.
No, that's my dude.
I know he loves Hampton.
I know.
Right.
I love Rodney Hampton because that's who I grew up watching.
Right. Now he was your dude.
And Rodney used to get obliterated every game.
Mm-hmm.
Never had an offensive line. I get it. But I think we're overselling Saquon for some crazy reason, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, I think it's because he's so exciting of a player to watch, right? Think about the last time. I mean, it's probably Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah,
like, I'm trying to think of the last guy who could hit his head on the goalpost. You know what I mean?
Like just go for a home run on the Giants?
Yeah.
Odell.
No, running back.
Running back wise, yeah. Bradshaw had that burst for a short period of time.
Right, but there haven't been a ton.
No.
Kid who got hurt that went to school.
Yes. Wilson. He went to Virginia Tech. Yeah.
David Wilson.
David Wilson. He was amazing, but his career, unfortunately, was cut short. But yeah, but consistently, when was the last time you had somebody who could just, all right, that's a draw up the middle of the field on the 20. He hits his head 80 yards later on the goalpost.
Tiki Barber.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I did it, but I've been retired for 18 years.
I know. Right? Don't age me, fella.
Right. But so think about that. Yeah. Saquon was that guy. And yeah. So it's hard to lose that because that kind of production and that kind of explosion, it doesn't grow on trees. All running backs aren't created equal. But, I know we want to say that, but they're not.
No, you're right. But he still has only had 3 1,000-yard seasons in 6 years.
Yeah.
Injuries, getting older.
No doubt.
And the longer they hold on to the Saquon thing, this is where I really feel like Joe Shane sees it too. The longer they held on to Saquon Barkley, the longer they would have had an excuse not to build this team around better and have the flexibility to do it. What has happened and that we haven't seen on Hard Knocks that we already know in the immediacy? They got, as Dables called it, a dog, maybe also a dude in Malik Neighbors.
That'll happen, I think, in the next one, right?
Right. And now it's really pushed Hyatt and Wandell down the chain a little bit. That, by the way, if
just make some great compliments.
And that's the point. If the defense is paying attention to Neighbors, those guys are going to be better.
I see what you're saying.
They got the kid Tracy in the draft. That looks like
Tyrone Tracy.
So suddenly the Giants had to be a little more creative with what their resources are being used at, and it might ultimately make for a better offensive roster by not having Saquon Barkley on the team.
I think you're right. I can't wait to see the hype that comes from the draft.
I know. Next episode is going to be great.
Right. They're building it up, but the draft is like, but the Giants had a great draft.
You know what I realized the worst part about next week's episode is?
What's that?
It hit me last night taping One Giant Step, which you can download free on the Odyssey app. All podcasts are available.
Recapping the Hard Knocks.
Every week we're recapping Hard Knocks. You know what the problem is with next week?
What's that?
First game of the Subway Series. Is
oh,
the same
get
time.
Out of here.
And we're going to be in the building.
That's right.
I'm going to have to wait till Wednesday morning to watch Hard Knocks before the show.
But that's what I did today.
I've been watching
it. I always do that.
Yeah. So it's not going to affect you. It's going to affect a guy like me.
See, here's the problem, though. When Sean's at the game and he's filming himself eating an ice cream sandwich, he's going to see spoilers on his timeline.
No ice cream during the week. You know me. Weekend only.
Oh, stop. That's a lie.
Yeah, weekend only.
That's a lie, and you know it.
You're going to go to Yankee Stadium and just to be clear.
And I'm going to come up with some soft serve, and I'm
Mr.
just going to be going to town. Mr. Softy, I'm going to town.
On a Tuesday? No.
Nah, and you're going to be like, no thank you, Tiki, I don't need
No this. Thank you, no. I'm all about health during the week. Absolutely.
When we're sitting there in the legend seats, and they got the shrimp, they got the lobster, they got the steak, and they
do
got
you know
all the
something I don't know about I'm my tickets on Tuesday?
Put it in the atmosphere.
Okay, so this is more of a hope and a prayer from you.
Learn that from Craig?
No.
You just put it in the atmosphere?
We just walk in and act like we belong.
Yeah, that's true.
We were here last year. Like we can come back, right?
I'm protein only Monday through Friday and vegetables.
Okay.
So just letting you guys know.
Hey, milk has protein, doesn't it?
Milk? Does it?
Yeah.
Milk has protein?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if that's true. Because then why would they have protein like shakes then? Shouldn't they just give me milk?
Yeah, but it's only a small amount. But still, it has protein.
I'm going to have to look that up. I don't trust Tiki's health advice. 888-808-1019. Just
trying to get you to eat ice cream on a Tuesday.
Brett.
Or Wednesday.
Let's be real. The moment I feel the energy, if the Yankees are down 9-1 and I see Mr. Softy winking at me with that cone on his head, I might go.
Right, it's over. My diet is done.
Exactly. Oh, God. Now I want ice cream. And I'm going to Citi Field tonight. Who am I kidding? It's a weeknight. Bradley in Morganville. Bradley, what's up?
What's up, Bradley?
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going today?
We're good. Yourself?
Doing really good. Tiki, a big fan of yours. Been a giant fan since 1998. And this is an honor for me to get to talk to you today.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, just wanted to get into, last night, about the whole Saquon thing. I mean, if we even recap back to last week, too, I mean, you can hear the conversation him and Shane were talking about. And we kind of concluded, too, that Shane and Dable, they were ready to move on. And you could hear in Saquon's voice last week, too, that and he just felt mentally checked out of being a Giant. So
yeah, like he was ready to move on.
He was ready to move on. And, we were all like, and listen, if he went anywhere else, we wouldn't have had that reaction when we found out he went to Philly. We were all like sour because he went to Philadelphia. I mean, let's call it for what it is. It's a guy, but you know what? And the thing is, too, the numbers were almost identical, in terms of contract. We saw in the beginning of the episode last night, they were at 3 years, $25 million guaranteed.
Yep.
So it was like $1 million difference. So
hold on. Bradley, that was Shane's original call with the agent where the agent was telling him what it would take to get
To clarify that, Bradley, he basically said to Ed
Barry,
he said, if we get to whatever the number was, 3 years, 12.5 AAV, 25 guaranteed, Saquon will come back, right?
Right.
And Ed Barry hedged on it.
Not necessarily, but that's what we're looking
for. Right, that's what we're looking for. And he basically got that from the Eagles, even though I think it's bigger than that because of the potential incentives.
Right.
And so that's what we saw in this last episode was where Joe Shane just said, well, we're not going that steep.
And had to focus elsewhere. Okay. Yeah, all right.
That was going to be my next point, too. With where they were going to go to next, they had to address the line. And of course, there's a battle of the trenches. They have to get the offensive line. And I love the addition of Brian Burns. I mean, call me crazy, but I think their defense is going to be really good this year.
Well, schematically, with Bowen as the defensive coordinator, it's going to be a lot different. Now, it's not going to be as aggressive. Just for those who are got excited about what Wink was doing, and no risk it, no biscuit from the defensive side of the ball. Let's just go after the quarterback. It's not going to be the same.
Which is why you want another pass rusher.
Right. They play a lot of coverage. They are gap responsible. That's why their 3-4 is an actual 3-4, meaning getting a gap. We're stopping the run. Mm-hmm. We're forcing teams to throw the ball down the field. So safety help and cornerback help. The development of those young corners is going to be hugely paramount for the Giants' defensive success this year. But as Sean was just saying, and is obvious, when you got two great pass rushers, it just makes it so much easier to be a cornerback.
And,
so much easier.
And Dexter eating up the middle.
Right.
We're going to all be shooting spider webs.
All right. Season. Here you go. You ready, Sean?
All right. What do you got?
Milk is a good source of high-quality protein with about 8 grams of protein per cup. Ooh. It can be especially beneficial if you struggle to get enough protein. So eat your ice cream.
All right. So ice cream's healthy for you. I also...
That's not what I said.
I also need to apologize to the audience.
Why?
I unknowingly lied to the audience.
About?
Mark Melusis has texted me. I'm surprised Loogie didn't say anything. I want to thank the folks at Wendy's, a sponsor of Cinco de Fivo, as they dropped off a new triple berry frosty that I was eating outside about 20 minutes prior to the show. So I've already broken my own rule.
That's a great point.
No ice cream during the week.
Wait, you didn't even realize it was ice cream?
I forgot I ate it. I just got done telling
that piece of ass. You know what that means? That means you have a problem.
Of course I have a problem.
That means you need an intervention.
Of course I do. I sat here at 3:20, told this beautiful audience of ours, I don't eat ice cream during the week because I'm health conscious now.
You just crushed
the frosty. And I was 90 minutes removed from a delicious triple berry frosty that nobody reminded me except for Moose that I ate.
You're basically wearing your bathing suit out there doing a cannonball into the frosty. I'm surprised I forgot about it, but you did. You went to town on it.
I'm sorry to John Mara, and now I'm also sorry to the audience. But thank you, Wendy's. It was very, very, very good. Connor actually making me in a little mood for Yankee baseball. So the Yankees obviously take the field to the song. We're about a week away. Subway Series will start the second half of the year. Not much flavor out of the All-Star game. We'll discuss that a little more later. Although I do think the Yankees dodged a big one last night. That's a little tease for later. A big one. What do you mean, Sean? Well, stay tuned here. Free on the Odyssey app, WFAN, Evan Tiki, to find out.
Oh, wait. You needed me to say that?
Hey, what do you mean, Sean?
What do you mean, Sean? I'll tell you later, Tiki.
Oh, okay.
As long as we're continuing this theme of Hard Knocks, something else stuck out to me last night. I did not ask Connor to pull this audio, so don't worry. It slipped my mind. The Giants targeted a couple offensive linemen. The one they didn't get was Robert Hunt. One they did get was Jermaine Illuminor, who has seemed more than thrilled to be here.
Yeah.
It is mentioned several times throughout the show by Joe Shane. That is, quote, their top guy. And by their top guy, I assume he meant the coaching staff, scouting staff. Remember, Illuminor coming from, I was going to say Oakland, Vegas,
yes,
where Carmen Brasillo, the new offensive line coach, was coaching Illuminor. But when Joe Shane finds out that Illuminor is $7 million on the table from Arizona and whether he has to go there or not, he says, well, it is their top guy. And it's Chris Rossetti, who comes back to him, who works under Joe Shane, and says, remember, Illuminor is either going to be our starting right tackle or our starting left guard.
That's true.
And it was the first time, if you were paying attention closely, Mr. Barber,
I was,
that we had acknowledgement that maybe Evan Neal isn't the team's right tackle.
Yeah.
Now, I think Joe Shane and Dable want to make it work.
Well, I think the offensive line coach, Brasillo, wants to make it work. So let's not forget.
Right.
This was probably a month ago, a little bit more than a month ago, when he first got here, basically saying that the circumstances around him just haven't been great. You can't evaluate an injured player effectively. And Evan Neal, unfortunately, has been injured a lot in his first two seasons. And it was kind of a subtle knock at Bobby Johnson.
You know
what I mean?
You didn't coach him up.
It wasn't like, you know, Bobby sucks, but it was kind of like, hey, he just hasn't been coached up right.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of confidence that Carmen Brasillo is having in himself. But we do have to realize or remember that Evan Neal was a top, like, draft pick.
Yeah, well, this wasn't Eric Flowers where the Giants reached.
Exactly.
Everybody wanted Evan Neal.
Everybody thought he was going to be the guy. So
2 weeks before, people thought could be the first overall pick.
Exactly. So it's hard, and I'm even one that's in this camp as well. It's hard to, like, forget and to give a clean slate and one more shot, but that's what he's going to get.
Yeah.
So Illuminor is going to be the starting left guard, and Evan Neal is going to be the starting right tackle to enter camp. So unless something goes awry,
right,
whether injury or he's just horrendous, you can expect Evan Neal to get another, maybe his last shot.
But very clearly, part of the reason Illuminor was their top guy,
Versatility
and the idea that they have a right tackle plan in place that they did not have last year when Evan Neal either played or was hurt, played, stunk, whatever the case may be. All right. Also, you brought up Shane Bowen, his fingerprints all over the defense. Thought it was really cool. They've included him in, hey, Burns, I could do with this pass rusher, and you said they're not going to get after it. I will say the one thing Hard Knocks has done is in the past, if a team or a unit struggles, I always tend to give a coach a pass at first because I say, well, look, the general manager got these guys. He's doing that. I've seen Shane Bowen now in back-to-back episodes basically say, just give me the pass rushers. I'll make the secondary work. The Giants appear, at the moment, very thin at corners. It's not thin. It's more unknown.
Yeah, it's
Drew Phillips, the pick you announced, be the nickel.
Yep.
Cordell Flott's going to start. Tay Banks, the first rounder. There's upside and there's promise. But if these corners and these safeties are getting basically cooked, Shane Bowen is not above being criticized now.
No, he definitely will not escape criticism. But they have some depth in players, but not in guaranteed production. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you look at the cornerback room, it's there's a lot of names, right? Cordell Flott, Trey Hawkins, who struggled.
Forgot about him. He started
right?
his corner
He struggled
this year.
Last year, but he's still there, and he's still young.
Right.
Tay Banks, obviously. Trey Herndon, they signed in free agency.
Yep.
Andrew Phillips, who they drafted. Darnay Holmes is still here. There's still guys that are here.
Yeah.
It's just
one of Herndon or Holmes will get
right,
caught.
But the question is, like, where are they ceiling-wise?
Right.
And who really is going to be that consistent starter for this team? We don't have
right.
a clue.
Well, Tay Banks better be freaking good.
Tay Banks is, I mean, that goes without saying. even though he's going to be in a different type
of course
defense this year.
Yeah, and he's always on the number one guy now.
Right, exactly. He may be able to travel this year, which is something he wanted to do a year ago, which the scheme didn't allow him to.
Right.
So he mostly was, I think, right. He was right-sided, I think. I can't remember now. But I think
he was right-sided.
It gives him a chance to be that lockdown corner, right? And let his personality, which is pretty, you know, Sauce Gardner-esque, kind of take over.
They already missed with Evan Neal. Tay Banks cannot be a miss of a draft pick. If you're drafting a corner in the first round, and you haven't addressed it in free agency, he better be a number one corner.
Agreed.
So that's where we're at. But look, Shane Bowen not above it. One last one back to the Coles. I'm emptying out my Hard Knocks tool chest. Can I ask you, Tiki Barber, another question I haven't seen anybody bring up, and forgive me if I have. Where exactly is Mike Kafka? Because Shane Bowen is included on every call on what they're going to do defensively.
Well,
they just went through adding all these offensive linemen, everything else. He's the offensive coordinator on this team. He's not only that, he was promoted this offseason to assistant head coach. And I have gone three episodes outside of maybe seeing him at the Senior Bowl or wherever he was. Where is Mike Kafka in all these
meetings? That's a great question. It's a great question. But I think what it's telling us is that Dave's is truly taking control.
Oh, it's his offense.
He's the one that's going to make the decisions about personnel, about scheme, all those things, even play calling. At least the early stages of this season, it's Dave's show. And you're right, because Mike Kafka should be like shown or mentioned.
And I wouldn't of it if Shane Bowen wasn't constantly being asked.
But Shane it's different because Shane is going to have full control.
Right. Dable's not a defensive guy.
He's not.
But shouldn't the assistant head coach be finding out about John running Illumina with the same coaches at the same time?
Maybe he is. It's just we're not seeing it.
Is he in Bermuda during I just thought it was. I like Kafka. I thought that was interesting. And I haven't seen enough people point it out. Anyway, back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Top of the hour. More thoughts on Jets and Davante Adams as he spoke on the Club Shay Shay pod. Wow, that's a name. It's unbelievable. Steven in Brooklyn. Steven, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great show again. Big Giant fan. Just wanted to make a couple of points, about the show last night. Shane, he said in the other episode, hey, we'll wait to hear from them. Meanwhile, him and the assistant GM, they call Barry, the agent, and say, hey, where are we at? What's going on? And then he comes back with the contract. And, that was kind of shocking. Like, they were a little bit more aggressive on that. And then when he gets on the phone with Mara, right? Yeah, and when he gets on the phone with Mara right after that, he tells Mara, he actually doesn't give Mara the deal that's on the table. So I wonder if he told Mara, you know what? We could get Barkley for 12.5, blah, 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 3 years, 25 guaranteed. I wonder what Mara would have said. He just told Mara, hey, agent was back and forth.
I don't think that John was making the financial call. I don't get that sense that John Mara is making the financial call.
I know, and that's why I think the Giants are in good hands. I definitely got the vibe, Joe, you're going to do what you want, but I'm going to let you know I'm not necessarily comfortable with the idea of losing him. Also, we don't know what was cut out.
Right. But there's also, I think if there's a financial conversation to have, it's not with the owner, right?
Right.
And so there are other guys that handle that side of it.
Yeah.
And so I think he's just informing Mr. Mara.
Right.
I don't think he's asking for permission to go spend XYZ more.
Because remember, unlike baseball, Mara's spending that money no matter what. Like, they're getting close to the cap because every team is anyway.
You basically have to.
So it's not like, I would pay him. Like, it's not like they're holding back finances. The money is getting spent. It's just a matter of how you allocate it.
Exactly right.
That's all that is. Corey and Edison. Corey, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So earlier, Mirage made the comment. You said the worst case scenario for the Giants would be Daniel Jones playing well this season. To me, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. No, not worst case. It's just it's because we're going to feel like he's the future, but we're still going to, in our mind, think, man, he could get hurt next year.
I didn't call it the worst case scenario. Yeah. I called it my worst nightmare.
Gotcha.
Because you're still going to be thinking about him getting hurt the following year.
And from a personal fame point of view, I'll want to keep Jones and I'll love him and I'll know the risks. That's why it's a worst nightmare for me.
That's very understandable. But I was just thinking the flip side is if there's a repeat of last year where he like has a major injury, he has an injury clause that guarantees, I think, yep. like half of his contract for 2025. So that to me is the worst, you know, possible thing that could happen.
No, you're right.
No, I mean, no you're doubt right. about that. Yes.
Right.
That is an even more living nightmare.
And look, players do this. Russell Wilson had this as well. And we saw what happened to Russell Wilson in Denver. He got benched and basically told, you're not playing because we don't want you to get hurt and have to guarantee money for you. So as soon as the season, it basically tells you this after this season, you're done. And so let's hope that that scenario doesn't happen for Daniel Jones, because then it gets ugly. It just right. feels unfair for the player to have to sit down because you don't want him to get hurt, so you don't have to guarantee him money.
But it's the reality of the league.
It's the business of the league. I think that's one of the things that I also picked up from this episode is how, like, and again, it's all edited, so we don't really know the like how the process worked and the timeline, the actual timelines, but it just felt like, all right, business decision. All right, Saquon's done. All right, let's get to the next one.
Yeah,
right?
And you have to operate that way.
You have to, especially in free agency, because it happens so quick.
Look at when they were online waiting for Dan Morgan to call back for an extra seven, which was incredible about Brian Burns. They're sitting there going, look at all these other options flying off, which we didn't get back to. I'm sure. I forget when Christian Wilkins agreed mm-hmm. to his deal, but that was another guy they were targeting. The sitting and waiting is the worst thing you could do. And if they sat and waited for Saquon and didn't get there...
So I got to call a little bit more BS here on Joe Shane.
Why?
Okay. No. First episode of Hard Knocks, we discussed it on the air. He's in the car, and he said, I don't know where Sports Talk Radio is, but you found NFL Network on the TV?
Well, that's always on. Network is everywhere. It's like ubiquitous in NFL.
But they were watching it.
I know, but it's everywhere. Whenever, if you go to any club, any organization, any team, and I do this every weekend during the season, NFL Network is on everywhere.
Why?
Because you want the information, not the opinion on what's going on around the league.
Yes. The NFL Network is giving you information.
But they give in opinions
as
well.
And it's also basically their show. The NFL right. Network is owned by the NFL. It is the NFL's show.
We are the Giants radio network.
It is, yes, but we're not their show.
True.
We are giving our opinions. Whereas the NFL Network, it's... You know who owns the NFL Network? The 32 owners.
Right.
So it's their network. That's why it's always on. And that's why they always have the details of what's going on in some of these deals.
Joe Shane, honk twice if you could hear us. That's all I'll say. Anybody hear that? You heard that on the turnpike? 888-808-1019. Nestor. Nasty Nestor in Union, New Jersey. What's up?
Sean and Tiki, what's going on, guys?
All's good, man.
Hey, so I just want to make a quick point that I haven't heard yet on the radio or social media. You guys are talking about how the Hard Knocks show has gave closure about the whole Saquon thing, and that's true. But this has gave me more questions about a particular topic, that being Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So what I will say is this. The conversation that Shane had with Saquon over the phone talking about, hey, just test the free agency and get back to us when you have a number. Just watching the show the past two or three weeks and following football, I see that Daboll and Shane, you know, wanted Daniels for a quarterback.
Yeah, would they sign up and trade for Jaden Daniels? And they said yes.
And then you see Mara in Shane's ear for Saquon on how he would lose sleep and such. And this leads me to believe that last year's free agency with Jones, I believe that Mara was successful in being in Shane's ear about Jones and never let Jones test free agency like he should have.
Well, I think
different position.
It's interesting, Nestor, because you're not wrong in what you're speculating about. But I think with quarterbacks, you know what the market is,
yeah.
right? You know what a quarterback is going to make. If it's a middle of the pack type quarterback, you're going to get $40 million a year,
right?
Period. It doesn't matter if we as fans or consumers think you deserve that, It's what the market tells you you're going to. It's very defined. If you the top of the market going into next contract negotiations, next offseason, it's going to be $60 million.
Of course.
But we all know it. Now, go look at the running backs. It is the reason you have to with the running back, and it's going to, I think, increasingly be safeties as well. You have to go test the market is because it's all over the damn place.
Yes.
Aaron Jones, who went to the Vikings, who's 30 years old.
It's another one I forgot where he
right?
went.
His guarantees, $7 million.
Wow.
Right? Tony Pollard, his guarantees are $10.5 million. Joe Mixon's, $13. Derrick Henry, $9. Boston Scott or Amir Abdullah, under $1 million. Right? Madison, $1.6 million. Ramondre Stevenson, $17 million.
Wow, it's right? crazy.
So you get what I'm getting at.
Yeah, it's just erratic.
Josh Jacobs, $12.5 million. You got
And Saquon was a complicated case because of his injury
right,
history.
Right. Devin Singletary, $9.5 million. Saquon Barkley, $26 million. Raheem Mostert, $3.7 million. That's just in the guaranteed money. Right. So you look at all those, what was that, 8 or 10 I went through?
Right.
Tell me where the common ground is.
There is none. It's all over the place.
It is so all over the place. So the only way for running backs to get valued is to go test the market.
Right.
What is somebody willing to give you? And then in Joe Shane's mind, what the reason he did that is because he needed an idea of what his competition was going to be. Because otherwise, it could have been $12 million in guarantees.
Right.
It could have been $8 million in guarantees. It could have been 38, like say, right. like Christian McCaffrey got,
and there could have been an avenue to come back if it was like that, because that he would not have been the one,
that's right.
quote unquote, disrespecting Saquon.
That's
Barkley.
Exactly right.
All of that and more. We're going to continue to take your calls at 888-808-1019. And you Jet fans, are you getting a little tease from Davante Adams speaking? And maybe, just maybe, Davante Adams is heading further west than he would be east. I feel like hokey radio guy doing all of these teases. It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.